Hello everyone, welcome to yet another episode of Contact Lost, the Polish Warhammer 40k podcast. And today we don't have any specific topic outside of general updates about what's happening in Poland, what tournaments are happening, what armies are winning, what our top players are testing, and so on and so on. To talk about that today, we have my trusty co-host Joker.
Hey guys.
And our staple, our good friend, the representative of the Polish national team, one of the best Polish refs to the UKTC and to the Polish events as well. I don't need to introduce this guy anymore. I give you Pumba.
Hello everybody, nice to be back.
Hi guys, it's great to have you. So thanks for agreeing to join us. So as I said, I don't really have any fixed thing for today. I was just hoping that we could catch up and see and let us our listeners know what the Polish national team is doing. How is the Polish scene developing? Is the community already racing for 10th edition? Or do the Polish players actually agree that the current state of the meta is probably the best state of the meta out there for, since a longer while, because that's what I've seen and heard on some foreign podcasts. So let's start with the most recent developments. Guys, what have you been up to? What have you been testing, trying out? And so on. Joker, I'll start with you. Have you been tinkering with anything new or back to your old armies?
Not much, to be honest. So after the Demon Codex release, I've played that quite a lot, mainly on TTS. But also I went to Poznań for like a GT. So I think I've got quite a number of games under my belt, at least in terms of the numbers I can pull off. But I haven't been playing for like the past 2 or 3 weeks. It's to go to what you said about the meta. I do think it's in a good place. I mean, it seems fairly balanced, and I think Pumba will agree. It's the game's going a little bit boring. We haven't really had like changes to the mission for a very long time, and it's just so repetitive with the secondaries that are available to everyone, as in there isn't really much of a choice for most rosters. So I think I've been taking a bit of a backseat for a while, and I'll see you when I get more motivation to pick the game back up.
Okay,
but this conversation here will help me do it, just that.
Oh yeah, fingers crossed. But so are you eyeing any, you know, any new releases incoming? Guard probably not very much, but what about World Eaters? What do you feel about them?
Well, I'll definitely try them out on TTS, see what it's like, but I don't know if I'll do anything with them for a long run. I mean, it would be another army. I don't know if I have the space to hide more miniatures from my wife. we'll see. We'll see. But I really like playing the Demon Codex, and I still haven't tested all the matchups. It's just that, I don't know, I'm not exactly motivated to play the game itself right now.
Interesting. And sad at the same time. So let's see where Pumba is with this. So, yeah, dude, what have you been doing recently? Have you been testing any new builds, anything? Let us know.
All right. So to start us off with, I've been attending a lot of GT-style tournaments in Poland. Actually, the one that happened in November in Warsaw was one of the first ones I've skipped for quite a while. So that was a nice slowdown and an opportunity to catch some breath and actually think about what I want to play right now. The thing is, I have been, after WTC, I haven't really found an army that I've enjoyed playing and I had like the mindset to actually try hard and to try to solve an army, to try to have my own army, to play something that I really enjoy playing and is ultimately strong and that has capability of winning events. And I've been struggling with that for at least a couple of months, maybe 3 months. bouncing around salamanders, stuff like this, and attending events with that. I've gone to the same event that Joker was at Mindzyrzec near Poznań, and that was a three-man team event, and I've gone and tested Emperor's Children in the vein of the one that Vic Vijay has been playing at UKTC events, because I like looking at it, I've really much enjoyed the playstyle and how he played that list, and I just tried to pick it up. I think it is valid, definitely, but I didn't enjoy it so much. I think that's mainly because of the terrain setup. I think WTC boards don't support this kind of playstyle as well as UKTC does. So I've kind of given up on that as well. And finally decided to try some Thousand Suns with Flamers, which is interesting because I've had the list. Just writing lists is usually something I do for fun or when I have time or when I have a break at my work or anything.
Yep,
it's just something to think about and not be bored, I guess. So I've had this list sitting in my list folder that has now grown to like 500 fucking lists or something throughout the 9th edition of Thousand Suns with Flamers. And I've had it, I think, definitely before the last month's tournament. But I actually didn't think it was very good, or at least didn't think it was good enough to take instead of the Emperor's Children. But after I've given up on that list, I've picked it up, played some games, and it turned out. Just to give a perspective, what I'm talking about is a Thousand Suns list that actually now has been doing some circles at the top tables at many events, and has been slowly creeping up to be very popular, but wasn't at the time. The list consists of a lot of squads of Rubric Marines, usually one squad of Scalapocal Terminators, and like at least 15 Zinch Flamers, which is the de facto demon unit to get, and the unit that basically made the Demon Codex infamous and worth playing. It soups really nicely, and after playing some games, I've slowly realized that the list is really good. And now, after playing at least 20 games and testing it both internally and at the Copenhagen event, the online event that happened and ended literally like a couple of days ago, I think it might be legitimately the strongest build out there in the whole meta.
Oh, wow.
Which, legitimately. After playing with it, after trying to pair our players against it as well, and after seeing some test games of other players, I genuinely think that build is absolutely insane. It's very hard to counter and to find a legitimate answer to it. It also answers a lot of stuff that has been problematic for a while, in vain of like Harlequins, or even just normal demons, stuff like this. So I've actually stumbled upon an army that I very much enjoy playing. I've been playing Thousand Suns before for at least 3 or 4 months at the beginning of the year. And now that kind of tricky game style of decision making and planning and scheming and actually having the tools to enable you to make your plans, complicated plans, work out on the table, I've been enjoying it very much. Although the Flamers are just broken. And this is the key part of what makes the list work. Let's not like beat around the bush. They are just hilariously broken and undercosted. But their combination is quite enjoyable to play for me.
Yeah, I agree that they're undercosted. I have the doubtful pleasure of facing them a bunch of times when playing against Joker on TTS. And his list basically managed to suck out all the enthusiasm I had for my new army and my new list that I was testing, just because the flamers are, you know, omnipresent, quite durable. They shoot like crazy and they wipe everything off the table. And if they don't, then you have, you know, all the other supplementing units from the Codex, including Bellacor, the Bloodthirster, and so on. So that list is actually quite good. I heard that David Gaylock picked this up, and this is what he is supporting after dropping the Leviathan build. So, yeah, he just changed one sharp knife to another sharp knife, I guess. So, but
what about you, Tweak? What have you been up to? Yeah.
Oh, so when we came back from the LGT, I came to the conclusion that I really miss power armor. And I don't know why. I cannot explain it. I just, you know, I've been playing Tyranids for a longer while, and I was just missing this good old power armor style army.
Chasing that sweet 3-up save.
Yeah, exactly. But with Armor of Contempt, you know, it's a little bit better. AOC, but I think I fell in love a little bit with Vic BJ's army, but not even the effectiveness of the army, just the way it looked. Because we were at the LGT, we had a chance to like take a closer look at his minis, the Demon Princes, Abaddon, you know, the Noise Marine. I just fell in love with Chaos again.
Bro, that Demon Prince of his is a masterpiece. That was my favorite model at the whole event. For context, he looked like, I would describe him like a Dreadlord, I think they are Dreadlords from Warcraft.
From WoW.
Yeah, exactly. Like, holy shit, that model is great.
Yeah, we have a pick, like Vitalis, who was our, is our third brother in Contact Lost and was our sound guy and
third
technical
wheel
guy. Yeah, exactly. So in our trike, he even took a picture, like took the Demon Prince, put it next to his face, and we have this little picture of him on Facebook where he is hugging the Demon Prince because he loved him so much. So we both came back home, and Vitalis picked up Thousand Suns again because of Vipij's army, and I decided to go into something completely new, and I actually bought an entire Death Guard army because I saw a list that I found quite intriguing from the WTC. I don't know, Pumba, if you recall the German Death Guard list with like 45 Plague Marines. Yep. And
I remember it very well.
Yeah, some characters and so on. I find it intriguing, and I've been tinkering and toying with the idea of putting something like that on the table, and I have. So in one of the games I played against Vitalis and his like mixture of Chaos, Bellacor, some Helverins, some Possessed, and so on, and it actually won. And then I played against Joker, and as I said, Joker managed to suck out the life out of me. So I'm still, you know, I'm like I used to have some borrowed models in those games. Now my birthday was last week, so I got more Tarion. I have another Plague Burst Crawler waiting for me in a box. So, yeah, I have plenty of stuff to do. And if I get bored with that, I can always go back to Tyranids, which I also have played recently. So, against New Guard, which I think we might touch upon a little bit later. Plenty of stuff going on, despite quite a hectic lifestyle. I'm enjoying the game, even though I wanted to ask you, because you both sound a bit tired, or maybe suffering from some sort of 40K fatigue. So I felt that, or something similar, not long after Nephilim dropped. So when the new rules came out, when the CPs got reduced to, well, 6 tops, but usually you start a game with 1 or 2, unless you're Necrons. And it felt to me, I said back then that I think that this is what is going to make the game a little bit flat. It's going to make the game a little bit boring because you won't see a big choice of relics. You won't see a big choice of world traits and so on and so on. Would you attribute your fatigue to this, or is it something completely else?
Yeah, and I think that was the general impression that the whole community got, at least in Poland, that the Nephilim change kind of really killed list building, because it took a lot of freedom that you might have previously had, because detachments cost CP and all that. But I think I was really hoping for more from the balanced data slate that was due to come out in Q3. Whenever it did, I think it's a month now. So yeah, seeing that in that form was definitely a bit disappointing. And it's that. And like I said, the repetitiveness of each game, really, where you just go to the same secondaries almost always, it kind of, you know, it gets to you at some point.
Okay, Pumba, do you share the same sentiment? Like, was the data slate, the most recent data slate, a letdown for you, or was it just testament to the fact that the game is in a really good place right now?
I 100% agree with Joker right there. I think, and I've been talking before the data slate, that the game has gotten stale for me and generally boring for a while, and the fact that the data slate basically didn't exist and didn't move any needles even made the situation worse, because we are now faced with the basically waiting time and downtime waiting for the new mission pack, as well as the new data slate, new points updates. Basically, and I've been talking to actually a lot of people from outside of Poland as well, so it's not only, I think, our perception that the game has gotten stale as hell. And dare I say, kind of solved. I mean, new things have appeared because of the codexes. Leagues of Wotan has been making rounds. The Thousand Suns and Flamers build because of Demon's Codex has been getting tested, stuff like this. The Leviathan is dead, sure. At the same time, that's very subtle changes. Whereas if you've grabbed an army, for example, let's say beginning of the year, or even mid of the year, let's say March, many people from that have been preparing, for example, for WTC have been learning and playing their armies to the full extent and testing them for months now. And from like March onwards, they've got nothing to do. Which is, at the same time, I do know it's kind of understandable for us to get bored of the game, and for the state of the game, changes might not be welcomed by many people, because, yes, objectively speaking, I think I can also say the state of the meta is, it's been the best it's been in the 9th edition, I think, which is good. Which is objectively good, but subjectively, and many people that have been just playing a lot, which is, we've gotten bored of it from the sameness of the situation, from the lack of choice in your secondaries. If you have solved your list, for example, there is very little reason to change it, and I think I've experienced this that the most after the 3v3 team tournament I've been talking about, because we've went into that with my local team, my Krakow Small Brigade team, the guys that I've been bringing to every team event that I've been going to in Poland and now abroad. We've had two teams attending, six guys in total. And after that event, after doing reasonably well but not coming in the top three, we all felt so bored that we just decided to switch armies, to swap armies, to just do something differently. Our Harlequins player, who has been playing Admech before, and he has that army and has done well with it in the past when Admech were actually strong, wanted to test it, and I've encouraged him to test that Admech after the changes and stuff like this in the Copenhammer event. And it's just been a disaster, honestly. Like after that event, I think the Admech is just are just the worst army in the game. By a wide margin. Like a wide, wide margin. And every single change and kind of thing you want to test and flip a pairing of some sorts or try to make something cute or different, it kind of feels unrewarding. It feels like fighting against the tide because the meta has been solved for so many months and samey for so many months without any major changes. That if you have worked something out in your, for example, Tau list that have been working great since, and you want to test something new, you will always have that situation that not enough has changed around you to warrant that change, and then just go back to what you've previously... I mean, you've made the choices that you've made for weeks and weeks, and now you're just making changes just to make changes.
To have some excitement.
Exactly. You know? And then you, for example, lose a pairing or a match that you would have won if you just brought your same old list, right? It feels kind of bad if you do that. So the best way is just to pick your the same list that you've been playing for months and keep going at it. But how many times can you do that before you just get super burned out?
Yeah, I know the feeling, and I felt the same when we had the results of the Polish, I think it was called Cykmasterek, or like, I don't know, Poof tournament, whatever, I don't know how to translate it. But in essence,
like that name, right?
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, it was like a, yeah, sorry?
No, never mind. Keep going. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay. So I was thinking, because it was a 60-man event, I think, here in Poland. And, you know, before the event, I was thinking of doing a post-event summary, etc. But then I saw, you know, first place, Harlequins, then it was Victor who won some previous tournaments with the very same army, from what I heard. He didn't even change the list, and he was still playing light, even though the balance data slate tried to imply that now players should be playing Twilight. But he won it with the same list, and then we had Vladi and Duda, and I was like, nah,
same old.
Yeah, same, exactly. Like, it got to that point where I didn't even feel like doing an episode because I just felt it's not going to be very interesting to talk about. And, with, you know, all due respect to the players, I don't mean them, I mean the armies, because they are just pretty much the same thing over and over again. So I did see that there is some tendency, some movement within the Polish community to try new things, to shake up things a little bit. And I actually signed up because I found it intriguing. I signed up for the old Polish TTS League, the newest iteration of it, which apparently is going to be played on UKTC tables, which for Poland is quite uncommon, because if anyone has listened to this show for a longer while, they will already know that Poland is all about WTC and all about helping the WTC team to get, you know, there to the top spot. So this is quite a breath of fresh air. Pumba, I'll ask you first, where did this idea come from? Is it just from boredom, or is there actually some idea behind this madness?
Yeah, to start us off, I think it's also worth mentioning that the whole rule set is going to be UKTC, not only the boards, which is even more crazy for us, not using the WTC FAQ, which have been guiding our events for legitimately years now. Just every event has been using the WTC FAQ. And yeah, so I've been one of the people that have been lobbying for using this system. And for me, the reason is at the end of the February, we will be attending the ITT, the International Team Tournament in Northampton.
I have a team already for that event. I will be the team captain for it. And I just wanted to actually get some reps in. Which, like, combined with the fact that everybody is just fed up with the game as, and its staleness, and also with, to be fair, I think it's already time to say the staleness of WTC boards and their general state. Because now that I think this is something that we also didn't mention in the previous part, which is also valid. I mean, we've been playing on the same boards for years now.
God knows how long. Yes,
exactly. Which also like complements the issue of playing the same missions, same secondaries on the same tables, right? I think those are the main two reasons for this change. One, people wanting to experiment more just to have something to figure out, or out of sheer curiosity how those boards and rule set works. Because, I mean, we've all been hearing from many, many outlets about LGT, about other huge events, about the ITC rankings and their standings and stuff like this. It does reach our community as well, of course. So definitely we want to test that. And because we are bored of the same old, same old. And now we also have quite a good reason to do it this way, because our team will be attending the ITT, so we can get some practice games in.
Yeah, I knew it couldn't have been a coincidence that we are playing those rules. You just rigged the entire fucking league for your own purposes.
Oh, that's not the case. I just proposed it and heavily lobbied for it, and there was a vote.
And people bought it,
which was secret, and the results have not been published, but the result is we are playing the UKTC.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing you mentioned those WTC tables, because just before you did that, I thought of that myself. And yeah, I think they were also created a long time ago now, when the game, the state of the game looked a bit different. I mean, you didn't have like crisis blobs moving 18 inches shooting you off the board. You didn't have boats moving 22 inches and spamming you with shuriken shots. So I guess one could expect that they would shake those tables up a little bit before like next year's WTC.
God, I hope. I cannot imagine playing those boards at the next year's event, but the next year's event is so far away still, and there's so much that can happen still, and the new missions pack coming up, stuff like this. So I do get why they don't update it like constantly. I mean, this rules pack and this mission pack is focused around that one event. And it requires a lot of work to update this many tables that they are presenting and they are curating. So I do get that. I think this is basically the time for the Polish community to have some fun, have some leisure to maybe experiment a bit, maybe make our own terrain pack. I've been actually looking at some other terrain setups. Like UKTC is one thing, US Open is one thing, but for example, something to take notice of is definitely Breaking Heads Cups and Warp Hammer at TTS events.
Germany.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Run by Fred, a member of Team Germany's team, interim captain. God knows his official state right now, but he has been in the WTC team last year. Who is also a great friend of mine, I think. I can safely say that. We enjoy our company a lot, and at the LGT we've also met. He actually has his own terrain pack using WTC terrain, but with completely different layouts for many missions. And literally earlier today, I've been talking to him
about the terrains, about the layouts, about the PDF that he's created. So I think it is maybe worth testing out. I think not many people realize that this exists. I didn't. I don't think many people in Poland realized that this exists. And I think it's especially that it's using WTC terrain, like the same runes, the same containers, stuff like this. It might be very worth looking at for all the Polish TOs. I've definitely
I think the Polish community has invested quite a lot, both in terms of like money and effort, into building that terrain base for like the entire community to use. It would be a shame to now start coming up with something else, and you know that would probably render that investment of effort and money useless. But if we can play the same but with you know some modified rules, it already sounds like a fresh idea. I'm all open for that.
I think it's generally the downtime. I mean, it's the downtime for the preparation for the event. It's not downtime for many teams, because the selection process is in full swing, not only in Poland but abroad, from what I'm hearing as well. But it is definitely the time to experiment with things like table setups, armies, rule sets, to feel something fresh and other than your usual 40k that you've been enjoying or not enjoying for most of the year.
Okay, so I'll use this opportunity because I know that the Polish national team, they have their own podcast that they do in Polish, and recently they've had a very interesting episode with Krawat, so one of the Polish players who really enjoys traveling abroad and playing in tournaments abroad. And he went to, I think that was what, Gunhammer Open. I can't remember what the tournament name was, but played on Gunhammer terrain. Is that also something that you are eyeing, or not very much, not too much at the, you know, all at the same time?
Possibly. I'm not like willing to discard any proposition at the moment or anything like this. Definitely not like the first thing I've been thinking about, because I think this type of terrain that he's been playing on and the Gunhammer events have been played on is very unique to them. I don't think many events, even in Britain, have been using them. So it's a kind of a niche thing. It also requires a very specific type of terrain. And obviously, as you've mentioned, we are gravitating to something using the WTC terrain because we have just loads of it. And also, let's be honest, not only we invested in that type of terrain, right? Now, after it's become the standard for WTC, and the WTC TOs have invested some money into that as well, I think we and they would like to use it for at least a couple of years. So I think like changing the layouts or some rules within that limited space of having those exact terrain types is something that definitely makes the most sense for the Polish scene.
Okay, I need to ask a question then. And I know that the Joker definitely is going to roll his eyes when he hears that question.
But oh, I already know what the question is when you say that.
Really?
Do you want to give it a try then?
No, you do it.
All right. So,
I don't want that to be coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, don't take this.
What the hell is the question, guys?
So, yeah, I think I asked you this in the past, and now I'll ask this again, you know, from time perspective, taking all what you've just said into account about the, you know, the meta fatigue, the boredom, blah, blah, blah. Isn't now the right time to try player place terrain? Since we have the terrain base.
God.
But, you know, this is also something that some
what
tournaments
a proposition
are sporting.
That is.
I mean, you know, it's still the same terrain, but you place it according to your needs and so on. How is that a bad idea?
Yo, I have, as I've said, and I will stick to that answer, actually, I think this is the time to experiment.
I do see problems with that approach compared to any other approach. And there are at least a couple of them, and I can actually list them off as a TO myself.
Go on.
So the first and the biggest one, the less work you need to put into preparing your event in the sense of preparing your terrain base and the mission packs and stuff like this, the easier it is for you. I think it has also been the reason that because of which many of the Polish events have been just using WTC terrain and layouts as is, because it's just available right away. You can print out the tables, set them up, you are done. And that's incredible thing for a TO to have. And I think preparing a legitimate player place terrain packet with correct rules that is not easily abusable, for example, that doesn't create just bad situations, requires a lot of playtesting. Like, I mean, I think couple months of extensive testing at least, and it's a huge risk to take, because if it doesn't work out, if you don't do it just like super precisely, if you don't catch some glaring omissions, players will do that, especially in here. Like, we are cutthroat nations that will go for any bullshit that they see. And yep. if there is just a sliver of room for interpretation for left, people will abuse the shit out of that.
And yeah, no wiggle space for Polish players.
Exactly. Like, I can already see the situations where someone finds some dumbest idea that is technically legal, and plays it, for example, and nobody even informs the TO, and after the fact, there's a whole shitstorm brewing. So I think from the TO perspective, creating such a pack would actually require a lot of work. It would definitely then possibly ease your workload during the event. I think that is basically the reason why FLG has been using that exact style of terrain, of players place terrain, because it just unloads the all the placing of terrain onto the players. However, both UKTC, which runs huge events, and many of the Polish events that you have been using WTC boards, I mean, you just print out the maps and with the dimensions so that the players set up their terrain. I don't think it's the worst. I don't see how it improves the TO experience that much. I think that's my main problem from this perspective. From the player perspective, if you do a player place terrain packet, like let's hypothesize that it is super tight, it is really well done, and there are no like clear abuses, I think it would be really fun. But it would also, which I've been hearing a lot of people that regularly play on player place terrain, it would definitely amplify the skill gaps between players. Like, yeah, I've been hearing a lot of stories of just people losing the game by literally. Also, that's kind of the same, but not really. That's like another topic. Is in player placed, and one of the main concerns and complaints I've been hearing is that you basically add another roll off to the mix of going first or like starting deploying. Placing the first piece of terrain is huge on player placed, and I think it must be addressed in the rules pack itself, like to not make it such a big deal, at least in some way. So let's pretend it is fixed and like you cannot just abuse the shit out of it by having the first terrain placement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It would still make for bad games for inexperienced players. Like coming to your first event and then trying to make yourself a table against someone, like against an army you're not even you don't have a comprehension of what it does. I think it would genuinely wreck new players. I think it would make for an incredibly unpleasant experience for them. It's way better, I think, to have lost on the terrain that someone else just created. You might enjoy it, you might not like it. At least it's symmetrical. But if you realize that you got screwed because you just don't have that skill, which is a skill, obviously, which everybody would need to learn to do better, to be better at. But it's not, for many people, I think it would just not be a real 40k skill that they expected to have. Or I don't want to. It is not quintessentially 40k, let's say. It's not something it is in the rule book that you must know how to do this. And then you come to your first event and get wrecked on that, right?
Yeah, that wouldn't be a great experience.
Safely kill the stuff. It's already dead. Yeah, it wouldn't. Okay, so I have a different thing because another, to me at least, another so it's sort of like a litmus paper of where we are currently with the meta and so on, and an indicator of how things have gotten. And Joker, I'll address this question to you. One of those indicators is that the Polish community started having a closer look at a different scoring system, because, you know, again, WTC, we used to play the score differential 20-0. And recently on the Facebook of the Polish League, there was even a question posted whether we should move on to win, draw, lose. So something that the whole Western Hemisphere basically uses. So what's your take on that? Is that going to change anything? Is that a meaningful change? Is that a desirable change? Or is it just, oh my God, we're so bored, we're going to try anything now?
I think it's a mix of all of these. I mean, definitely the boredom part, but also, this discussion keeps coming back every now and again. Maybe it's also the voice of people who are sometimes frustrated that they get low wins and therefore in the differential scoring they're not placing high even though they're winning games. And you know, the whole everyone else almost in the world, I think, at least in terms of singles events, they're playing win, draw, lose. It seems like the natural way to play. That's how the game's published. So I think there's no reason not to give it a go. Although at the end of the day, it looks like it will still be the same people attending the tournaments. It will still be the same armies winning the tournaments. But, well, we'll see. Hopefully I'm proven wrong and it will be a nice change.
Okay. Pumbaa, if you say A, maybe you should say B and go all the way. Maybe we should just go ahead and join the ITC then.
Oh boy, haven't we already? I mean,
are we in the ITC in any way?
I mean, I think
no, because we shit on BCP.
I mean, exactly. I am. I don't know what you guys mean. I got like 20 points for the second place at the WTC.
well done, you.
Like legitimately.
Pat on the back.
Legitimately, I think that's what happened. ITC. All right, let's actually discuss ITC. I think it's a fun topic, or at least a topic that's worth discussing. ITC is, in theory, a ranking of every player in the world. In practice, it is absolutely not. There are two countries that have any chance of scoring anything in the ITC is USA or North America generally, because Canadians can also go to events out there, and UK.
Mm-hmm.
That's legitimately it. And that is because that's how the system has been constructed. The ITC ranking is a construct of FLG, and this is something that they have created in some part as a marketing tool. Like, I'm not, I don't want to sound like dickish or offended or anyway, because I might come off this way. That is not my intention. I think it's absolutely valid in that sense. I think what they've done is actually commendable, that they've have gained so much traction under this one banner and one organization that just does events, and they have created their own ranking to rank people at basically their events. It's just that they have expanded beyond that, purchased PCP. Have they purchased PCP? At least come in into some kind of argument. I think they might have purchased it wholly. And essentially created their own ranking for international events. But the point system in those is heavily skewed to favor huge events, events with many rounds, the type of events that they run, or events that people like Zach at the UKTC run, which I think was a very... like him doing the types of event that he does, I think was very intentionally designed to score hugely in ITC rankings. Because of that, and because of the point system that the ITC is built on, there is no way of us ever existing in that and actually meaning anything. Like, legitimately, there is no option.
Wow, never... to be honest, I didn't expect that answer.
Unless all of us do what Cravat does and regularly go to the UK for events.
This is what the system and the ITC ranking has been designed for people to come into FLG events or now UKTC events. We can do that and score well in the ITC by going to those events. Like, for us to score hugely in ITC rankings, we would need 500 people events that run 6, 7, or 8 rounds. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. We don't have 800 or... how many people do we have in the actual ranking that have attended an event this year? Like, in the whole Poland ever?
Yes, this like year? 300?
Hold it right there.
It's 500 and, like, it's about 600 people, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be
because some numbers double.
Yeah, it's 582, something like that, just looking at it.
Yeah. So, and that's all the scene. Every single person that has attended a event ever of any sorts, this includes local leagues.
It includes TTS leagues, so
it is absolutely
it could be
TTS
someone who
leagues,
hasn't
yes.
actually left their house ever.
True. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Pretty much.
I mean, I see this point of us joining or like participating in the ITC rankings. It doesn't make sense to me, and the counter argument would be, what do we lose? Obviously, because if we let's hypothetically agree with my point, just like a thought experiment. What can we lose by joining or like participating in ITC rankings? Well, we would need to use BCP. As a TO, as someone who has seen many, many events run in that app and have participated in many events in that app, I would never do that out of my own will and my own volition.
Speaks volumes.
Like, holy Jesus, it's incredible how bad that is. That app is just a piece of shit. Let's be frank. I hate it. And I think everybody who has used it hates it. Like, legitimately. I don't think there's a single good review of this app ever that has been said to me. Like, someone comes to me and he's like, God, I am so glad that BCP works as well as it does. Like,
the only thing that you hear is, last year it crashed, this year it didn't. Woo!
Yeah. If it's barely passable, that's the best you can imagine from your event. And half of the time it isn't. And it just crashes. You cannot upload your list. You cannot change your list. The pairings just crashed. There are so many issues with it. Like, as a TO, that would be a nightmare to run an event like this. From what I'm hearing, team events, which are becoming more and more common in Poland, are just the worst. I'm not about it. So this is the main thing also, right? So there are two sides of this coin. One, we can score barely any points from our events anyway, because this is how the system has been designed. And B, we would need to use this godforsaken app to run our events, which everybody hates.
No, I mean, come on, it works well if you've got the Follow the Sun premium TO subscription.
I don't think it does.
I know it still crashes every round or something, but at least, you know, you've got someone on it all the time trying to fix it.
It's not good enough.
Yeah, no, definitely. I find it quite annoying because that wasn't always the case. I mean, you could like get your event ranked in the ITC without BCP a couple of years ago, and I mean a good couple of years back in 7th. They had an Excel spreadsheet form kind of thing, but I know that there's been quite a lot of going back and forth with it between Frontline Gaming and whoever was doing it in our community. But it did work, and I think one of our guys even managed to be number one Sisters player because nobody played Sisters, correct. Like literally nobody.
And he had like a full metal army of Sisters, like a very unique one. And I remember that day when Bagley won that prize. It was like, you know, everyone was talking about it. And this is actually the entire reason why I asked this question, because when we were at the LGT, I spoke to Stephen Box, and he said that, you know, the pre-LGT interview, he said that he is basically going for like best in faction for Blood Angels. I think, sadly, eventually he didn't make it, but the sheer concept of going for that sort of an award, like best in faction in a year, I find it interesting and exciting. I mean, if you look at the Polish scene, there are those amazing people like Asarnir, for example, who at the beginning of the year, they decide, I'm going to be the best Death Guard player in Poland. And he actually, I think he managed, which is no small feat. But then what do you get out of that? He gets, bragging rights and a boner. And that's basically it. So
yes, never-ending glory.
sort of. So, you know, I mean, yeah, he is admired in the Death Guard Discord right now. But that's essentially it. So having that would probably be cool. And then even many people in Poland would feel motivated to pick up an army and just play it throughout the year. Now, we don't have anything like that, which I think is kind of...
Can I jump in for a second, though?
Absolutely.
On that. Is there actually a best in faction reward in ITC?
I think there is, like, for every faction. Even Zach was giving out...
I mean, yes, in the event... Calling this out, right? I mean, in the event, absolutely. Like, this is just a TO individual event stuff, though.
No, but I think Zach also did like the whole UKTC season kind of thing. I think he recorded it with Dom, I think, and they were going through who's the best. I don't know if any rewards actually came out of it. Maybe, you know, like a diploma or whatever.
I think there is like a diploma and a little statue or something like that. Like, and you can. That's why I mentioned Bagley, because a few years back, like, I don't know if that was 2016 or 2017, at the LVO, at the very end of the LVO, they would go and they would announce who was the best player in the faction for the entire year. And that's why we said that Bagley won this, because he was playing Sisters, and there haven't really been many Sisters players out there back then, because it was obviously pre the new Sisters codex and minis released and so on and so on. So I think there is something like that. And I think that would be amazing to have that in Poland as well.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely something that by the way, our ranking is absolutely designed to do that. We do track army statistics.
Yeah,
we do.
So all that now it is to do, there is to do, is just implement some kind of reward for that. The potential problem I see with that is just the size of the community. Because there are so many potential factions, not that many people will... So just some factions will be very, let's say, easy to grab, because there aren't many people playing them, let's say, right?
Oh, yeah, but they're usually obscure factions that are having a hard time.
I think it's a huge problem. Yeah, I don't think it's a huge problem, let's be honest. But generally, the reward system for our rankings, for example, is worth redesigning, and the end of the year is fast approaching, and the voting on the new ranking system, or the new whatchamacallit, the rule set, the statute of the league will be decided at the end of the year to guide us through the new one, as we always do, and there will be loads of discussions about many, many topics, and I think this is one of them, and this is definitely something we can bring up and just decide what to do with the actual top placing, best in faction, stuff like this. How do we gain resources, for example, to do these rewards? Because it's very much different if you have things like UKTC or FLG doing their stuff, because they are businesses, right? If they make money, they can invest the money. Whereas everything in Poland is basically community run, and it makes funding stuff difficult.
Complex. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm glad you got there, because I think that's the biggest issue we'd have with having rewards for that.
Whilst at the same time, like professionalizing, I've been thinking about it, like honestly, of course I was, like I'm a TO, I'm doing my own thing in Krakow, like our local tournaments. I'm doing the once per year Krakow Arena, which like already is being planned, and all the logistics are in motion for the next year. And of course, I've been judging the UKTC events and seeing the scale of them and the whole business side of them. I genuinely don't think there's enough of a market to make it a business in Poland. We just don't have the scale, which will force us to do things differently. I think just purely looking at those huge events that the UK and US runs is nice, as a vision. I don't think it's currently feasible. And I think it's the case for many countries. Like, how many actual great... we've been talking about ITC rankings. How many great, extremely good, well-known even, players from outside of UK or US do you see in them, represented?
Probably heard about none in the top Sweden. 10.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to find them. I think there's genuinely a market for a new global ranking system. I think that would be huge. I also think it would be massively difficult to implement. I think it would require a lot of work. It would also need to at least somewhat sway the Anglo-Saxons, let's call them, to join it instead of just doing their thing as they've been doing for years now. But I generally would be very curious how that would look. And I think many, many, many countries, like mainland European countries, WTC countries, would love to see
like a global type of competition and ranking to match against each other in a fair way, because ITC is just not fair in that sense. Like going to London GT is not the same for a guy living in London or Manchester or Nottingham and a guy from Germany or Poland or Prague, right?
Yeah, clearly. Okay, so we ventured a bit far, and I think we got, you know, we went into a digression or got sidetracked a little bit. So I'll come back to the game itself, because I wanted to ask about maybe a little bit different aspect of the game now, the armies themselves, because in the recent months we've seen, you know, some knee-jerk reactions to the vote on the army. We've seen the new balanced data slate, which, as you said, it didn't shake up much, but then again, it did shake up quite a lot for some people. And we see Guard, I wouldn't even say on the horizon, but Guard is here. So I would like to delve a little bit into those topics, and then I think we're going to wrap the episode. So let's start with the vote, Han. Joker, have you seen them being dominant in any way, or, you know, prevalent in any way? Were the nerfs that we discussed too early or right on time? Is this army as scary as people said it would be?
I haven't played against them, to be honest, so it's really tough to judge, at least, well, not only objectively, but even subjectively. But just looking at tournament finishes, they don't seem to be, like, you know, unbeatable, which is a good thing, obviously. So, but they're definitely in the meta. So I guess that if they were already nerfed in some way, then those nerfs were definitely, you know, well placed.
Spot on, yeah. Pumba, a question to you, because I literally don't know. I haven't seen a lot of mentions of the Votan League or Leagues of Votan in Meta Watches or the, like, Meta Monday summaries or Goonhammer articles. Is that because they don't allow them because all the models aren't out yet? Or isn't the army just performing well enough to appear in those summaries?
Votan are basically just out now, is what's the case is. I think it's been literally a week, perhaps two. I'm not, like, going double check, but it's the most is 2 weeks of them being allowed at events, because the model range has just come out in full swing, which basically summarizes to, we don't know. It's been not enough events that have run them and not enough data. And this is the reason also, it is a new, completely new army, which stops the instant flood that all oftentimes can happen with the old codex gets, like, old army gets a new codex vibe. Well, I pick up now my models from the shelf and they are absolutely smashing now, so that's good. Case being Tyranids, for example, Tyranids. It's not the case. You need to actually paint and assemble your army and have time for that and stuff like this. So it's kind of stopping the immediate flood, I think, for a lot of people. Not like the top of the top professional players, like people gunning for one top, number one stop spot or ITC, stuff like this. But for many more casual players, it's definitely stopping their numbers inflating super hard. Which summarizes to, we have no idea how just good they are in practice, like in statistics. All I can say, I think they are fine. And that's completely my own opinion. I think they're fine. I think there are many armies that they are very good against. I think there are, at least at the top of my head, 4 or 5 armies that they completely struggle against, which puts them in the they're fine category for me. I do think they are an army with extremely strong rules, and that
the people need to realize what they can do, which is gonna take some time. I also think in the like the in the confrontation of I am very new at playing squads versus I have never played squads before and we are at the same level, I think they are way easier. Most of the lists that are going to be present at events are way easier to pilot than pilot against them, which might skew them to being way better than they are in, at like the top tables. But I'm oftentimes looking at like the top tables and the absolute best players playing against each other, right? This is going to be always my perspective, which is not representative of the actual statistics, right? It's not going by win rate, it's going by how would the win rate or the meta look if only the best played the best.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So enough about the Botan, but I need to ask, especially, you know, I've listened to the most recent Fireside podcast, or 40K Fireside podcast, so Vic Vijay and David, who are good friends of mine. They, in the most recent episode, they've been kind of also complaining about, you know, like post Coventry depression.
And David complained. Episode, actually.
Oh, right. Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. So, so basically David was, you know, kind of unhappy, I guess, because the data slate killed off his favorite army, which was Tyranid Leviathan warrior spam. And he's been looking for a replacement ever since. I think he now came to the conclusion that he's going to work with Chaos Demons, which is, Chaos Demons. Again, a very interesting.
He definitely didn't add any Thousand Suns to them recently.
So you know more than I do. But essentially, you know, I wanted to stick to the topic of Tyranids for a moment because it became apparent that immediately when the balance data slate dropped, Leviathan became, well, almost non-existent. Like, people dropped it straight off the bat. And they've been trying to, like, Tyranid players have been trying to reinvent themselves continuously. So the armies now are different. Different high fleets are being used. It feels like people are still experimenting. Do you think that this was a healthy move by G-Dubs to neuter Leviathan, make it almost non-existent? Or are we just over-interpreting this and Leviathan is still competitive, people just don't see it, or it's more difficult to play it now? I don't know. Pumbaa, you can go first.
So, purely from my own subjective point of view, Leviathan needs can go die in hell.
And it's, I think, very they just nice.
And I'm very glad they did. And I am very excited for not seeing any more warrior bricks ever in my entire life.
Yeah, you won't miss them. I know why.
Especially after playing fucking four of those bricks at WTC.
Yep.
But genuinely, I think it was the wrong move, but possibly from like from different reasons that you might expect. I think Tyranids are absolutely insane still. They are crazy good. Everybody could just grab Kraken and smash face with it. It is genuinely what happened. It's been happening. Just some players, like David, for example, or Ines, well, guess what? They got bored of the meta. So they wanted to definitely experiment with something else. I know Ines has been just going ham at at the GSC list that he's been tinkering after WTC. It's also his downtime period as he's the Team Scotland WTC captain. And so he has the opportunity to experiment. He doesn't have the obligation to test and practice his army for WTC itself. And legitimately, I think everybody who played Leviathan Nids could just take the Kraken list and do just as well. It's a different list. It plays differently. It's superbly strong. It's insanely strong still. I think Tyranids are still one of the top factions. I'm not going to bother, like, actually ranking them or any other factions right now, but they are absolutely huge and the top of the top. Like, to give you an example of a person or a player who has been playing this for a long time and hasn't reached off of them, Jokul Johansson from Team Iceland he has been playing at the Copenhagen events and smashing face with them. He's an excellent player. We know him ourselves. And he just switched to Kraken and continues to smash face with Tyranids. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely possible. Okay. And I think most of the Tyranids players, competent Tyranids players, would agree this is the way you do it. Is Leviathan completely dead? Maybe. Honestly, I think there are still some possibilities of a build there that are just way easier and more obvious and more probably superior options at the rest of the codex. Tyranids are generally the problem. The problem with Tyranid Codex, which has been known for many people and for many months, is that the whole codex was broken. Like, legitimately, it's very difficult to find a Tyranid datasheet which is legitimately a bad datasheet. I've actually had this exercise recently of just looking at every datasheet, just without the context of other Tyranid datasheets existing, and finding a genuinely bad datasheet in the context of a wider game. It's quite impossible. 100%.
I would think... I mean, again, it's a unit that other books would like to have. Which only speaks about a lot about the strength of the Tyranid book. But Gene Stealers, I think a lot could be done to bring them back.
I mean, they are definitely one of the worst units in Tyranids Codex. I think they are legitimately fine at their power level overall. I don't want them to be back.
Yeah, I mean, any other army would probably love to see a unit like that. Yeah, and the sheer fact that the Tyranid players are complaining about this unit being, too weak and or overpriced or something like that. If it does anything, it speaks about the power of the rest of the book.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the case. I think what GW did was completely wrong in that they addressed a very small sliver of a huge problem that they've designed, which is the whole book. And I think this is as I've said, kind of obvious from the very start that everything is good here. So you can switch in infinitely. If they do such narrow nerfs, it's going to be the case of Drukhari just dancing around their nerfs with Dr. Knomancers, and then you find something new, then you go to good stuff. Oh, now Thick City is good, and then you just jump around. It's been a case for them because they've been so internally strong and balanced internally. And it's the same with Tyranids. You cannot balance this type of codex by making those narrow, precise changes to one sub-faction. People just can switch to Kraken and still do incredible things.
And that's what's happening right now. Okay, Joker, would you say that Tau and Harlequins are a menace right now?
No, well, definitely. I think the results of tournaments speak for themselves. I hear that Tau is only now starting to bully tables abroad in the Western Hemisphere. So, and they weren't touched by the balanced data slate. So obviously, if Harleys and Nids get a bit of a nerf, then Tau is a clear winner. So yeah, they're definitely up there. They're definitely in, the top armies that you need to account for when going to an event.
Yeah, you need to be prepared for that. Pumba, how about Harlequins? I mean, again, Polish scene, the last few bigger events. I don't want to say dominated by Viktor and his line Harlequins.
Yeah, Viktor and his Harlequins. I can say it. They have been dominated by Harlequins.
Thank you. Exactly. So, are they a menace in the meta right now? And now I mean, globally.
Yes, and they have been for a long time. And guess what? The data slate didn't actually change almost anything. Let's see. When did heresy happen? The three city heresy?
In September, end
of August.
Thank you very much. I just don't remember the dates of every event. So Victor won this event and the last one that just happened in Warsaw with almost the same list. I think that's everything you need to know. Harlequin players have been playing the same list for, by the way, it's very similar to the list that Meissen was running at WTC, like super similar still. And then Mike Porter legitimately
wanted the same, like, yeah,
basically took the same list, like Meissen's redesigned list with two bikes added, the just ridiculously similar list, and just took it to Coventry and smashed. So you can almost say you can take the same Harlequin list for half a year, more than half a year, and win events with it constantly, just one by one. With the same exact list, with almost no modifications, and the modifications are, do I grab two bikes? And which pivotal role is my Death Jester going to be? That's legitimately.
Yeah. So,
yes, yeah, like generally, Harlequins are too good. They have been for a long time. It's not like they don't have answers. The Demons is the major one that has appeared in the meta. There's definitely play against them. They are not completely bonkers insane. But they are... I don't like the state of the game. And it's just something that amounts to the staleness that we've discussed, right? If you would like to innovate in Harlequins, you technically now have the possibility to do so. Because now, after the light has been nerfed, many people will gravitate into Twilight, for example, or change some stuff in their list. But what if the optimal thing is not to do anything? After you've just been nerfed, what if the most optimal thing is to bring the exact same list and still win an event? That's just
exactly how
insane,
I see the data
slate. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is just should never happen. Like, I can see the army just being under-nerfed, switching some things out, remaking their build, and then still being good and winning events. But bringing the exact same list, point almost point for point, it's just insane. It is like the slate never happened.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that for an army with such a narrow book, touching anything, like even the smallest of things, could basically, you know, make or break the army.
Yeah, you would think.
Although, you know, you would think that the change they introduced with, like, shooting after moving in a vehicle or advancing with a vehicle and so on and so on, actually didn't change much. Just changed the ranges, but not much else. But other than that, if you wanted to make like any major change, I fear that it would render the army useless, as we've seen in the past. When GW starts nerfing something, there is no middle ground. It's just either the army is at the top or the army is deep, 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 deep in the mud. So I'm afraid that's what could happen to Harlequins. Maybe they deserve it, but usually if something goes into mud, it stays there for years. So yeah, I wouldn't like to see that happen to the Harlequins.
Wouldn't the same argument be valid when they came out in like April or March? I mean, they were still a very narrow codex. And since they have received at least three waves of nerfs. And they are still on top.
Fair point.
So you could argue that back then that if they touch a Voidweaver, man, that army's gonna be dead. Well, not exactly what happened. So I would be more willing for GW to experiment and not be just so scared. Or if they can be wrong, they can over-nerf things. I mean, they haven't been hesitant in slashing half, like one third of or one fourth of the Votan army before it came out.
Custodes also got hit hard at a time.
Yeah, I mean, if things are too good, you must take risk to change them. If it means, I think, over nerfing is something that they are too scared of. Generally, we haven't seen big enough changes. And I think those types of nerfs that they have been implementing would actually be very fine, because nerfing always feels bad. It always feels really bad to lose something that you previously had. It's a very common thing in video games, for example, or online video games, right? League of Legends, stuff like that. If you get nerfed, you feel bad with it. It's very similar in 40K. But in this case, there's a very reasonable approach of just buffing the other stuff. Just balance the game by bringing the down factions up. You could call it a power creep, but I mean, every new codex seems to be a power creep situation happening.
Yeah, so you might as well.
You can just fix it by bringing it up. It is also quite a dangerous concept, but I think it's valid, and at least for the bottom factions, like their inability to do something with stuff like Space Marines or AdMech is unforgivable. Like whereas I can understand them not wanting, like being very careful to not over nerf things like Tyranids or Harlequins or stuff like this, just because it, as I've discussed, it makes people feel bad. How are you really argumenting not bringing the bottom factions up by a significant amount? Because it really feels bad to play Space Marines for over a year now when they've been sucking.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, right? Like you do see
there is no good
the
reason
discrepancies.
For it.
You see the discrepancies of power levels of codexes, mm-hmm. and somehow the last latest late just proves that GW is fine with it,
which is mind-boggling. Chain,
yeah. As I said. All right. I want to bring this slowly to a finish. So, question about two more armies. And then I think we can cut it. The first one, where are the Necrons right now? Because when we were at the LGT, Necrons, I still could be considered a menace in the meta. Very strong, very simple secondaries to complete. Everything having core, everything having OPSEC. Where is this army now, considering the changes from the data slate? And I don't know, Joker, if you want to pick this up. I don't know if you've had a lot, many opportunities to play Necrons or versus them. But do you see them in the meta?
Well, I think they're still quite strong. They haven't been touched, right? And their problems come from a bit of a different thing than just, you know, the power level of data sheets or abilities, etc. They just have obscene secondaries, which they max out just by looking at the score sheet, and that has been in no way remediated. So I think they're definitely still up there.
Pumba?
Yep, I think so. I think it's been, now it's become harder to play them again. I think they've kind of, the king or no king question is still legitimate. I think many people are still didn't come to terms with dropping him. I think it absolutely is the right choice to drop the king. Just do your secondaries. Bring 400 points more of models with OPSEC. It's going to work out really fucking well for you. But it also requires you to forget the old ways of killing things. Necrons will kind of, because of their old data sheets, like go back to not being able to kill very well this way, which is fine. You just need to like adapt to that thing. And because of that, they've actually become quite, they've came back to being a little bit of a difficult army, which is under, I think, not intuitive, But I've seen it. I've seen people just trying to kill with Necrons, as they did for those couple of, or how many months it's been that they've been playing Silent King. Now it's back to playing their OPSEC movement, move blocking shenanigans, now with incredible insane secondaries and winning game this way. So I think they are still extremely good. They do have a lot. They have at least some bad matchups. Yeah, they're fine. But I don't like the... They're this type of army that just nobody wants to play against, I feel like. Like, they've been balanced in a way that where our codex sucks and our data sheet sucked. Well, we do the secondaries, we win, but it was boring for us and boring for our opponent. And then he tabled us in three turns, and then we still won. And so they are, I would say, one of the actual worst armies to play as or against. They seem to be incredibly boring to me in very many ways. And
one up for that for me.
playing against them isn't fun either. You just need to go ham and table them, or they win.
I need to table them fast enough.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, before they complete the secondaries. Mm. Okay, then last army and last question. And this is an army that we don't have data for yet. But I mean, the new guard. Again, Joker and Pumba, both of you. You probably, I'm guessing, you haven't had the opportunity to play against the new guard. But you've seen the book. You've seen the data slates. You've heard the four-hour-long Polish podcast with Rudy about the new guard. Do you think that this will shake up the meta and bring back the, I don't know, something interesting to what we see on the tables right now? Whoever wants to pick this up, go ahead.
I'll just let Bomba talk, because I haven't read the book, nor have I listened to the podcast that the team has released, because I'm, you know, as I said in the beginning, I'm kind of on a break, and Guard is like an army I could not be less excited about, probably.
Nobody likes Imperial Guard, honestly.
I mean, nobody. I played against them already, so...
Tell us, then.
I mean... I'm interested in your opinions. I have my own. I have read the book, not extensively, but at least know what's happening. And we've been already designing lists, as you do.
Mm. So I played, we had a friendly game against Vitalis, and we were even thinking of doing an episode on this just to talk about our lists and how the game went. But it never came to be because of time. So essentially, Vitalis fielded 7 Lemon Russes. I can't remember the name of them, but there was one that has one shot that ignores invulnerable saves, and some other ones just issue orders and so on. There was a Bane Blade, there was a Sentinel, and I think 2 or 3 squads of infantry with, like, because they still can take like any loadout they want, so they had everything. They had like a mortar, a missile launcher, I think, or definitely a last cannon, and that was it. And then I didn't know he was going to feel that. Not that it would matter, but I didn't know he was going to feel that. So I wanted to tinker with a new model that I got for my birthday for the Tyranids army, which was the Tervigan. So I brought a new take on Tyranids, like something that I wanted to test out, which was basically a Kronos build with a Tervigan with 2 30-man units of Termagants. And then, what else was there? A Harpy, a 2-man unit of Carnifexes, and I think and the Hive Tyrant, a Walk Grunt, or a Hive Tyrant with Shard Gullet. So no Reaper of Obliterax and that stuff. Of course, some Zoanthropes and stuff like that. And to be perfectly honest, it felt like playing Tau. So I don't like playing Tau. I don't like to be on the receiving end of what Tau can do. but it felt very much like that. Did I mention he had a Baneblade? If I didn't, then I missed a very important part of his army, but he had like six Lemon Russes and a Baneblade. I just didn't have the means to shift him from the table. The Termagants, now I can say from like in hindsight, we didn't play on proper WTC terrain, so we decided it's just going to be like GW terrain. And unknowingly, we used GW rules, unknowingly, because I didn't realize that when you revive and bring back Termagants with the Tervagant, you cannot conga line them, and you should bring them back according to WTC rules, like within 3 inches of a model that had existed before you started bringing them back. So I was conga lining them, and then this allowed me to have control of the table and allowed me to get some easy charges, wrap him, and basically keep him in combat. So he couldn't shoot at me. And then, of course, the Termagant was protected by the Termagants. The Hive Tyrant was protected by Hive Guard. And it was just a game of who's going to outlast longer and who's going to hold the objectives on the table. Eventually, I melted. Eventually, my army, I think, you know, it was mainly down to the fact that Kronos is mediocre at best. And the range doesn't really give you a lot of advantage, especially that the Termagants who were supposed to shoot were in combat all the time. But they just refused to die for 3 to 4 turns. And I think at the bottom of turn 4, they just started melting. But I couldn't kill him either. Like the tanks are now extremely durable. The fact that they have the turret rule that they can shoot even that they are in combat and so on makes them way more improved over what we had in the Codex from 5 years ago. And I think guard players are going to enjoy this a lot if they like fielding tanks. And the big ones like the Baneblade and so on, they are just really, really good. I would like to see how this army plays against Tau, for example, because it feels a lot like these. It's almost like a mirror matchup. They have similar tools. They have the similar power. I just think that there is more guard on the table than there is Tau. So it's going to be very interesting to see. Eventually, I lost this game by like 5 points, I think. Had we played the WTC rules and adhered to them, he would wipe me out way, way earlier, just because I wouldn't be able to reach him that easily with the returning Termagants. But the army seems fun. Vitaly seemed to have really great fun, even though he, like, in the first turn. No, I think I came to the game with, like, 60 Termagants, and we calculated that 130 came back or something like that throughout the entire game. I would have to ask him exactly for the calculation, but it was insane. Like I was using the Tervigan's return ability and then the Endless Swarm, I think it's called, the stratagem, where you get to the something Termagants. So it was like an endless wave of bodies that he had all the big guns. He had, you know, everything to hand down, things like the Harpy, the Hive Tyrant, the Tervigan, the latter two he couldn't target. But it was very ineffective against the Termagant, so it was, not the best for him as well. But eventually he prevailed, and the guard just did what guard does best. So he didn't erase me from the table, but he I just didn't have the means to open him or to open his tanks. So that's what gave him the game at the end. He scored at the very end, and I think that was what made the difference. So the Codex is looking very strong. It's not looking entirely exciting for guard players, just because it seems like a lot of variety is gone. All the regiments and so on seem to be gone. So, like, you don't build your Katachan or your Talarn or your Valhallan army anymore. You can use those units freely as you want, but it's not like a themed army anymore. You just bring a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So again, to like dedicated guard players, I think it's a downside. But from the sheer power level and what this army can do, it has stuff that definitely can compete. So yeah, that would be my take. I'm really excited to face them again. I'll try to bring some more heavy shooting to maybe open the tanks better. But even then, on a table where you cannot really hide well, and you cannot take the advantage of a bodyguard rule or terrain, I think you're just going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's my take.
I think, now the questions that remains for me is, are they going to be the mainstay gunline army? Because we technically have at least two, if not three. Because we have Tau, we do have Guard, and we have Leagues of Votan, which are kind of a shooting gunline army as well. They usually function in this way. So now that leaves us with three options, and usually, historically, only one of these types of armies actually prevails. The best is two, right? Like, imagine a situation. It's often been the case with AdMech as well in that mix, that only Guard or AdMech or Tau are good at one time, because it's usually the case that only one of them has just better shooting or better tools to deal with everything, and it's just a superior option to the other two. Will be very interested to see how it shakes up. I think the Guard Codex, I kind of share your thoughts on the Codex as a whole. What I would like to add on top is that if this is the herald of the new edition, of the 10th edition writing, I hate it. I generally dislike the fact that...
Why specifically?
Many reasons. First one, I really dislike the use of keywords in it. I dislike that it's been segmented into squadrons and platoons, and you have those many. And then instead of just choosing a regiment, you now pick a doctrine, and by gaining just a doctrine, you gain a keyword that you used for some stratagems. It's just so many keywords. It's I think it actually might be the case that this will be the new core thing. Something that replaces core, which I like the idea of replacing core, because I think it's been a failed mechanic as a whole. I just think it's so much bookkeeping that I dislike the segmentation in this way as well. I think it's not an elegant solution. I hate the thing that there are no sub-factions present. The thing that I really dislike the most of all, that they have decided to print the redeploy 3 units world trait into this codex is unbelievable to me.
This Vitalis used that one against
like me. Everybody mm-hmm. will be using it. It's fucking exemplar of Kaoyun. We know it's broken. It's been broken since it's been released in, I don't know, 7th edition Eldar? And at least back then, only Eldar had it. And now it's a mainstay in gunline armies. I think it's insane. It should, like, redeploys should come way back down and should not be a thing. And if so, only for very specific things, in very specific ways. There shouldn't be so many of them. I think they are the thing that enables Alpha Strikes, which everybody dislikes. I think they are the thing that enables Planes to Factions, which nobody likes Planes in 40k. Just go to the other mini game with Planes that the Games Workshop does or anything. Just, they are bad for the game, genuinely. And if they've decided to... I think many things have been tuned down, sort of. In the sense of rules and the new Guard Codex. So if this is a Herald of 10th edition, that it worries me deeply that they've decided to let them still have the redeploys. I think this is one of the things that absolutely should vanish from the game in 10th edition. And
this one is just,
here, it's just dumb.
And this particular thing is just the tip of the iceberg. The book has, for GAT players, I think it's great, and they should take advantage of of the new book as much as they can, because they haven't had a book for 5 years. But there are so many tools that other armies would like to have, would like to see, at a price that no other army can have, that I think they will be quite dominant. And especially because of this very high alpha strike potential. When I was going into the game, when Vitaly told me that he's bringing tanks and so on, my initial thought, not having heard or read about the Codex, my initial thought was, okay, it's going to be like a knight game. I mean, like a game against knights. And what I learned about knights is that, especially for the big ones, they suffer from movement issues. And this can, I mean, you can take an advantage or get an advantage in a game against knights if you move properly, if there is a lot of terrain on the table. With the tanks, I didn't have that impression, because the fact that, the ranges that Guard has, this hasn't changed. And in a team tournament, you can still easily shoot units on the other table, if you wish, just because of this outrageous range that they have. So yeah, overall, I'm excited for Guard players. I'm not excited for Guard, because if we see a lot of it at tournaments, and I know that in Poland we have tons and tons of players who have been eagerly waiting for this book to drop, I think it's going to. But that's just me. We'll see. Anyway, I think we've reached the end of the episode. If we carry on any longer, it's going to reach 2 hours, which will render it impossible. At the beginning, when we were preparing for this episode, I said, "Yeah, I don't have a topic. If we reach an hour, it's going to be good."
But you forgot that you just never stop talking.
Yeah, true.
Neither do I. Just give me a book, and I will go on tangents all the time.
At least I hope it was, little interesting, maybe. Anyway, a small announcement. I probably should have started with this, but we haven't released anything for 2 weeks just because, of life, but also because Joker and I, we have been invited to the recording of a new series. With a very famous host, but I will not tell you more because I don't want to spoil the surprise. So we have been featured on episode 2 of a new show that is going to see light probably next week. So the episode with us will probably air in about 2 weeks or something like this. So watch this space and stay tuned, because we are definitely going to be sharing that episode on our channels and our outlets as well. And then we will be keen to hear your opinions about all the topics that we've mentioned in this episode. So from the state of armies to Guard to World Eaters, because that's also on the horizon. What do you think about the current state of the meta? Do you find it boring as well? Or do you have any suggestions how to shake it up a little bit and how to make it more interesting? We would be very keen to find out. So leave a comment or send us a message otherwise, and we will be very happy to answer.
And if you like what we do, don't forget to like, subscribe, or whatever you can do on all the podcast streaming services.
Thank you, Joker, for that. Thank you both for this, to me at least, very exciting conversation. I hope our listeners found it as interesting as I did. I guess until next time. Thank you both. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much for having me. And bye-bye.
Bye.